Precious Heavenly Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing. In Jesus' name, we have abundant life. We thank you for fresh mercy. As we come to go into your word, we recognize our inability, Lord, to minister your word effectively on our own. And I look to you for fresh mercy. I duck under the covering of my fathers and I ask you for fresh unction from your throne. That your word, Lord, you will anoint my heart and my lips afresh. So your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water. In wisdom, in understanding, in clarity, in humility, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. That your word will do an eternal work in our hearts and lives, causing our wills, including my own, that our wills be more submitted to your will. Our minds be more illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Our emotions be further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth, I pray under covering of my fathers in unity with my brethren that, Lord, yokes will be broken, blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears will be unstopped, the feeble knees will receive strength, so that we will be doers of your word, lifting us up to a higher level of fellowship and obedience and unity in our midst and in our lives in the name of Jesus. I ask you for fresh mercy to help me to be concise and precise. That, Lord God, I will say only those things that you would have me say. Lord, redeeming the time. And as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing out of the treasure of this word things both new and old to the praise of your glory. That our lives, Lord, will not be the same, but will be blessed being in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're in the book of Colossians chapter 1. And in our last lesson, we were in verses 20 to 23. And we saw that the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, was giving us deep spiritual understanding of how Jesus' death reconciled mankind. It's very important to understand, you know, that it's important to be established in truth so that we're not tossed to and fro. Amen. And the root of the enmity between God and man, as we saw in that verse, next verse, please. Yes, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So the enmity was because of the sin nature that man became a partaker of when Adam fell. And that sin nature has been passed down through the bloodline to all men. So we saw that by the shedding of his blood, Jesus gave us eternal life in our spirits. Amen. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So Jesus' life was in the blood that he shed for us. Amen. And when he died, you know, and he went to hell. The Bible says that in Hebrews 9:22, he says that without blood, there is no remission of sins. So it's important to understand that blood, you know, was what paid the price. It was what took away that enmity. It removed that nature, you know, that was making us and God enemies. And it bears repetition to just say that, you know, what makes us sinners is not what we do, it's the nature that we have. Amen. And it's that nature that makes us commit sins. So we saw also that the Lord Jesus went to hell for 3 days and three nights to pay the price for our sins. It is that spiritual suffering that justifies us. Amen. Okay, so it's not so much the physical suffering, but that spiritual, so that going to hell and paying the price, because he himself was righteous. So he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Okay, so, and he was raised up from hell by the Holy Spirit on the third day, because legally he had not committed any sin. So the Holy Spirit, you know, blasted into hell and, you know, infused him with the life and glory of God, and he rose up a lion. Amen. In the very peace of hell, and destroyed Satan and his cohorts, took from them the keys of death and hell, and broke the power of Satan over not just himself, but all of mankind. Amen. And it's important to understand that. So we were in him because our sin was on him. Amen. Okay, so when he was raised up, we also were raised up together with him. And with that resurrection power, he went now to heaven as our high priest and took that his blood, you know, and went to the actual tabernacle. The tabernacle that Moses made was made after the pattern of the one in heaven. So he now went to the actual tabernacle and sprinkled that blood of remission. It was now the blood of remission. And that remission wiped away our sins once forever. Give God a clap offering. Amen. Amen. It was a master stroke of the wisdom of God. Amen. And in so doing, he reconciled us back to God. Amen. And Bible says that he obtained eternal redemption. Redemption means to buy back. So Jesus bought us back. Amen. Amen. And brought us back unto God. Amen. And this set all mankind free from satanic dominion. So we are potentially free from satanic dominion. Amen. And let's look at Romans chapter 6 verse 5. Let's put some scripture behind this. Okay. Romans 6 5. Right. For if we have been planted together. Let's read it together. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Next verse. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin, that nature, might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we are free, amen. Next verse. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. So we saw that he set us free from sin and now made us holy. And in Colossians 1:22, it says holy and unblameable and unreprovable. It just means that we are now holy and unaccusable. Amen. So every accusation now is brought to naught because of the righteousness of God in our lives. Amen. Amen. So that this is something that we now must accept by faith. It's important that we accept this by faith. You know, even though our sin rate drops when we get born again, you know, drops drastically, we still sin, you know, and the aim now is we now then use that blood frequently to maintain constant access to God. We now receive that life from God, amen, on a regular and consistent basis. And we now use that life in prayer, you know, to flush out, you know, the nature of the residual nature of sin in the soul and in the body, amen. And then we grow up in so doing into Christ. We inherit the fullness of the Spirit without measure and manifest God's glory to mankind. Amen. That's the purpose of God. Okay. So now we are equipped with the blood, the word, and the Spirit. And when the Bible says that we should continue, as it says in verse 23, let's look at verse 23. It says, if you continue. So it's if. So there is a part we have to play. It's conditional. You have a part to play. I have a part to play. Being born again is the beginning. It's not the end. It's a provision of raw materials that we now use to build Christ into our lives. Amen. And it says to continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, it's important to say this, that true ministry is making men. True ministry is about making men into the image of God, not to fleece them. And the way we do that is we have to now continue in love, fellowshipping with God and with one another in the love of God. I know that love, you cannot do it except you use the blood. So it's continual use of the blood. Amen. Continuing the pure word of God. Hearing the pure, undiluted word of God. Amen. No, not hearing instruction that causes you to err, but hearing God's pure word. And that pure word, you know, it gives you the truth. And as you continue in the truth sets us free. Amen. Free from sin. Free from the effects of sin. Stubbornness. You know, independence. You know, wanting to do our own thing. You know, the weaknesses of the flesh. So that word sets us free. And then we continue in the power of the Holy Spirit through travail and tongues. So that's what we did last week. And this week now we're beginning from verse 24. So let's read. Let's read it together. Colossians 1:24. who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Amen. Let's read on. Whereof I am made a minister, is the reason for ministry, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. Amen. So the dispensation is given to a man for people that are under his sphere of influence. Amen. To fulfill the word of God. It's not to do his own thing. Amen. Next verse. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the honor of kings to search it out. But is now made manifest to his saints. Next verse. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next verse. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's what Jesus died for. Next, last verse. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. We're going to trust God to help us and see how far we can go with that. Amen. Amen. All right. Verse 24 now. Okay. Thank you. Now, true ministry demands suffering. Hello, brethren. Brethren, we are called not just to have his nature, not just to share his power, but we also must be partakers of his suffering, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. It's a full package, but there is glory coming out of the suffering. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are called to suffer. What do we suffer? We suffer for three major reasons. And what do we suffer? Because it's important to understand what we suffer. We don't suffer problems and difficulties. That's not primarily what we are called to suffer. What do we suffer? We suffer self-denial. Amen. Is what we are called primarily to suffer. Self-denial to present us perfect and mature like Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. Please quickly. Though he were a son, very son of God, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Next verse. And being made perfect. Stop. It takes suffering to get perfect. Even the Son of God. It takes suffering to become perfect. Amen. He became author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. So really, this is for Jesus, but believe you, brethren, it's for all of us. As we grow up into Christ and we suffer, people will be under your sphere of influence. And they will, you know, you'll become an author of eternal life. That is, you minister life to them under Christ, under covering of spiritual fathers. Amen. And it's very important to understand that. So you see that suffering is part and parcel of Jesus' experience. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. Apostle Peter also talks about this. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Let's read it together. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. So this mindset is an armor. We need it to go all the way. It's not a jolly ride. There are places you'll be called to suffer, okay? You arm yourselves, what? Likewise, with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has what? Ceased from sin. So if you don't suffer in the flesh, sin will have dominion over you. You cannot be free from sin. So suffering is something we rejoice in. Something is something we embrace. Because it's setting us free. And what do we suffer? No, we suffer self-denial. Okay, so it makes us like Christ and it keeps us like Christ. So you don't graduate from that school. You are fully obedient to God. And that is the standard of true ministry. If you want your life to be well pleasing, if I want my life to be well pleasing, we are called to suffer. The Bible says, I am come in the volume of the books to do what? Your own will. So that is the suffering. Not doing your will. Doing God's will. That's the suffering. And it's a great privilege. Because if you look at Matthew 6:13, let's look at it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Let's read it together. And lead us not into, but deliver us from, for thine is the kingdom and the forever. Amen. So now that comes through suffering. When you inherit the kingdom, you are endued with power from on high. And the glory of God is entrusted to you. So there is something we're suffering for. There is a hope that is before us. It is the hope of the glory of God. Amen. It's the hope of the Spirit without measure. It is the hope of our inheritance. So the suffering is worth it. Amen. And then what do we really suffer? We just learn to restrict the use of our time. Amen. And make God a priority. So we tithe our time. You know, and as we are led by Spirit, we then give offering of the tithe on our time. So we restrict the use of legitimate things, like sleeping. So you don't sleep as much as you want, or you don't sleep all you want every day in order to give time, you know, to the things of God. Okay? We the same thing with television. The same thing with visiting friends and family. They are legitimate things that, responsibilities that we have, but even to work is legitimate and is important, and you must give to God what is God's and give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But at the same time, you must not use your work as an excuse for not giving God what is his due. It is extremely, extremely important. Oh, I was working. Then we restrict our appetites. Food, films, sports, hello, soccer, tell me about it. Amen. Food, films, sports. What kind of films do you watch? How much time do you spend watching films? What do you feed your mind with? It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you must be careful not to desecrate it with wrong images, wrong pictures, wrong words. And then to even when the words are right and the images are right, how much time does it take away from the things of the kingdom? There's a level for everybody. And the Holy Spirit will tell you the one that is too much for you. Amen. Bible says we have the anointing on the inside. It tells us what we need to know to do. Amen. So it's important that we don't indulge ourselves. The pursuit of our dreams, our ambitions. It's very important that you lay your ambition. God doesn't want to take our ambition. He wants to help you to fulfill it. But you must lay it down. And then he will give it to you. And show you how to use it. Amen. But don't just take decisions without thinking about how it impacts on your walk with God. On your fellowship with God. How much time does this give you for God? How much time does that give you for God? I want to do this contract. How much time is it going to take from you? Can you afford it spiritually at this time? These are vital questions. That's the suffering. So you take a 100,000 naira contract and leave a 1 million naira contract because this 100,000 naira one allows you to enough time to pray and come to church so you can grow. And then when you have grown, the other 1 million naira that you gave back will come back to you. God is not taking anything. He wants to give you, look, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. So God doesn't want, Satan will tell you, take. But as he's taking, as he's giving you that, he's taking something from you. Sending leanness to our soul. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So that is important. And also the use of our money. Yes, how do you use your money? You know, your money is not your own. It belongs to God. And you need to acknowledge him how you spend it. It's important. How much shopping do you do? Huh? And when you shop, what do you buy? Lord have mercy. I want to go for the top of the range. It's Gucci, man. Huh? Is God giving you Gucci? Or you are taking Gucci because you have the money? Very important. Brethren, you know, no man can receive anything except it be given from heaven. Let God direct use of your finances until you do this. Let him be the one to give you. It brings satisfaction. It brings contentment. And I must confess, I have seen it in our spiritual parents, you know, pastor and mommy, when they take things that are lower, you know, just so that they can be a blessing to other people all around. Let's give God a super hand. And people come and when they see them outside, oh, how are you? When they now come, when they now come to school, or they come to school, they say, ha, and you are being humble like this. Ah. No, because in the world, you brag. You show how big you are. You let your money do the talking for you. But the Bible says that we should let our moderation be known among all men. We must be moderate. And it, the people, the unbelievers are seeing it. Even when the people that are not being moderate, they are seeing it. And they're telling the IRS, go after them. It's very important. So, you know, we adorn the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ with good character and with virtue, so that people then speak well about Jesus, because they can see that we're living a life that befits no Jesus Christ that we profess. It's very important, brethren. Okay, we also want to say this, that, you know, true ministers also have to deny themselves. So the first thing we deny ourselves is self-denial. For your own personal perfection, to become like Jesus. The next thing is that we have to give ourselves time to pray and feed the flock under our charge. Now, this is for people in ministry. Then you, apart from praying for your family and praying for yourself, there is an extra responsibility to pray for the church. First of all, the care of all the churches. It's not just standing and being the man of God. It's spending hours in intercession. Pastor prays from morning, literally, till night. We give God a super hand. Amen. A super hand. And you know, sometimes, Lord have mercy. When we cannot pray, I just tell God, Lord, you know my father is praying. I duck under covering. You know, Pastor, I'm up here. And guess what? It always works for me. But I pray well, though. I don't take it for granted. You know what I mean? But it's important, you know. It's that security. They must provide covering. Isaiah 32. What is covering? It's the power of God that is channeled to the saints of God through the spirits of mature kings and princes in the body of Christ. We're not going to turn there because of time. But that's what covering is. And that covering, it protects the people of God. So Satan is not able to take them. A good type of it is David. David was a shepherd. And he fought the lion, he fought the bear. That's the type of covering. So the bear cannot take the sheep. The hireling allows the sheep to be taken. Because it doesn't pay the price to do the extra intercession. No, to pay and protect the people of God. Very important. No, so covering. And then that covering also supplements spiritual nourishment, so that with whatever they're doing, they can then grow into the image and the fullness of Christ. So this is the will of God. And we also see that they also feed the people of God with knowledge and understanding. Now, an excellent type here is David. Let's turn to Ezekiel 34, verse 23. Quickly, Ezekiel 34. Thank you. Ezekiel 34, 23. Let's pray for them. Je prefik and I'm a rapper cassid. Verse 23. Amen. Let's read it together. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them what? Even my servant. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Next verse. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a what? prince amongst them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. God is the king in the church. The fathers are the princes. Amen. So what is he saying? That he's in David as that, but I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So he's talking about a leadership that doesn't want to do their own will, but God's will. That's what he's saying. So true ministers feed the people of God with the knowledge of with knowledge and understanding that builds them up and gives them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Acts 20:32. We're not going to turn there, but you can put it up. So this is what they do. Right? So this is another level of, it's an extra level of suffering. Don't take the perks without the sacrifice. Don't be thinking of printing a card and starting a ministry. There is a preparation and a suffering that you need to pay in prayer extra. And don't tell stories. Pastors, don't tell stories. So, don't tell stories. Just pay the price. Pay the price by the grace of God. Amen. And his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. And then, true ministers also endure satanic attack that is meant to hinder them or discredit them. This is extremely important. Satan, Bible says that I will smite the shepherd and the sheep shall scatter. So Satan knows. So he goes for fathers in the church, sir. He targets, fathers in the church, people that are here. And so they need our prayers. It's extremely important. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. Let's read from verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in distresses, next verse, in stripes, in watchings, in. You still want to be a minister? It's available, but you just need to know that this is what it takes. This is the true ministry. This is the standard. Next verse. Paul was the pattern, so he should know. How does he do it? By pureness, by knowledge. This is how you do it. All those things that God will do it through you. Don't worry. By pureness, by knowledge, by what? Long suffering. By what? By the Holy Ghost. By love and faith. Next verse. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Next verse. By honor and dishonor. The simple people, honor. The people that have competition in their heart, dishonor. The people that is showing them up, they would speak out, they speak against it because it's showing them up. But the people that have been blessed, the ordinary people, like Jesus' ministry, the ordinary people, they received him gladly. But the scribes and the Pharisees were saying stuff about him. Amen. So by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Next verse. As unknown and yet unknown to you, because they're very simple. You don't know who they really are in the spirit. But in the heavenlies, well known. Paul I know. Jesus I know. Amen. And I must give honor to honor to whom honor is due. Sir, Pastor Amomi, thank you so much. Because I see this scripture fulfilled. As dying, and behold, we live. As chastened and not killed. Next verse. As sorrowful, yet always. Because the joy of the Lord is their strength. Amen. As poor, yet making many rich. You are the many that are being rich. Give God a clap of prayer. Amen. Because of this supply of the word and the spirit. Amen. As having nothing, yet what? Possessing all things. Because if you have your inheritance, you have everything. You have everything. So this is the standard, brethren. Godly ministry is not a parade. It's not a parade of popularity. It's not a flaunting of wealth. It's the making of men. And you see the example of Joseph. I would say Joseph, his feet were put in affliction. The Lord put him in stocks. Psalm 105, verse 16. I'm not going to tell you. But put his feet in his stocks until his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. But when it came, he became a sustainer of his brethren. He began to nourish his brethren. That's the purpose of God. Amen. Amen. So why am I saying this? Why is God saying so? God wants us to begin to appreciate our oversight. Start praying for them. If you have not been doing it, if you find time, pray more. Amen. No, and your prayer is important because it cocoons them in God's love, in God's presence. It encourages them. It lifts up their hand like Moses and Aaron and Ur. Yes, Joshua 17. We're not going to turn there, but you can put it up. Verse 10. You know, and Moses went up to the top of the hill. He said, I will go to the top of the hill. You, Joshua, stay on and fight Amalek. Amalek is the type of the flesh. So your irregular prayer life is dependent on what somebody else is doing. Very important. So you have to pray for them. Otherwise, your prayer will not be enough. It's self-interest. Enlightened self-interest. Very important that we understand it. You know, and it was their prayer. And Bible says, when Moses' hand was down, they put a stone. What is that stone? Truth. The stone of revelation, stone of truth. You know, and because Bible says that they delight to see their children walking in the truth. So when you walk in the truth, you are helping your spiritual parents. When you obey, you're helping your spiritual parents. When you pray, you're helping your spiritual parents. We don't thrust them. We don't aggravate them. Because that distracts from what God wants to do. And when their hand is lifted up, then there'll be victory on the ground. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Amen. Okay, so we see Jesus, you know, even asking Paul and Peter, James, and John to pray with him and pray for him. You know, so if Jesus called them aside and said, come and pray with me, watch with me, then it means that they need prayer. Don't look at them and say, Pastor Enike, pray for me. He's already doing that. And God is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. So we now must pray more. Amen. Yes, it's two ways. It's two way. No, we must pray for them and they pray for us. And let us love them. Be happy when they do well. Be happy when their children do well. Be happy when good things happen to them. Because your blessing is inside that. Amen. No, we are united. We should not be divided. United we stand. Amen. Okay. Now, verse 27 and 28. Verse 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches. No. 26. 26. Even the mystery which had been hid from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. Now notice, God revealed the pattern to Moses alone. But that pattern was for all Israel. Hebrews 8:5. Let's just look at it quickly. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Hebrews 8:5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. So the pattern was showed to who? Moses. But Moses came down and showed the pattern to the rest of Israel. So there are sons of Issachar in the body of Christ whom God has given to have understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. And it's important to submit to them. It's important to submit to them. How do you recognize these sons of Issachar? Because, you know, not everybody, there are many ministries, there are many pastors. We have to be able to discern who is a son of Issachar. You know, Luke chapter 6, verse 45. Let's read it together. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. The fruit of good treasure, of wisdom and revelation. And once you see that fruit, you know. Bible says that study to show thyself approved, a workman, 2 Timothy 2:15, that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when the word is, where the word is being rightly divided, that's the place to go. Those are the people to follow. Very important. That's the type of Moses, you know, that is in the church. Okay, and God is speaking earnestly through expressly through those people. So it's important to at least understand that this is what we do. Also, to see their character is important. To see the character, the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. You see patience, you know, and in particular patience in the Word, you know. Patience in intercession is very important. The practice of prayer and the Word is key. As Pastor was sharing this morning, you know, with me, you know, when I was, that is important. The consistency is key, because that is what brings that treasure of knowledge, you know, and brings it out to us so that we can be blessed. All right, so, and God is saying to us and to the entire church that Christ in us, verse 27, let's say it again, Christ in us is the what? Hope of glory. The glory that you are looking for on the outside is coming on the inside. So stop looking outside. Why? The kingdom is within you. The kingdom is within you. And what is the kingdom? The kingdom is the dominion of love. The love of God over our wills, over our minds, over our emotions. Kingdom just means the dominion of the king. We also know that in Romans 14, verse 17, he talks about the fact that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. So it is, kingdom is doing the right thing. God does the right thing. So God is love, so love is God. It's important. Look at Romans chapter 13. Let's make it clearer. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. Thank you. Let's read it together. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath what? Fulfilled the law. Next verse. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this same, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as, of course, we know in John 13, it reads that we shall love our neighbor as Christ has loved him. Look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, is the fulfilling of the law. QED. Amen. So love is the goal. Love is what we are looking for in each of our lives. We want that dominion of love over our wills, that dominion of love over our emotions, that dominion of love over our minds. Amen. Okay, and verse 28, it says God is warning. Colossians 1, back to Colossians 1 now. Yes, whom we preach. What does it say? Warning every man and teaching every man in what? In all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. It takes all wisdom to make us perfect. Amen. It takes all wisdom. So the spirit of wisdom and revelation is key. And that's why we must be submissive to the people, the fathers that God has revealed this revelation to, and learn from them, because there's no other way you're going to get it. And I dare say that even in the body of Christ, you know, leaders have to be submissive one to another. Because you know, if God commits a message to one person, you know, then you're not going to get it any other way except to get it from that person. And this is so important. There's no competition. It's, you know, it's important to understand. So he says, whom we preach, warning everyone. Why does God warn? Why does God warn? Because if you don't take the more earnest heed, it can slip from you. And that is not the will of God. It can slip. Look at Hebrews chapter 2, quickly. Verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time. So it's possible. Don't say that you can't. Less at any time. We should what? Let them sleep. Because if you let it sleep, then there is a consequence. That's why he's warning. He's not warning because he wants to give a negative confession. He's warning because he doesn't want us to let it slip. God is love. Amen. All right. So what does God want us to do here? It's important. Why is God warning? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Yes. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What does this mean? God is warning. Because a fire is coming to try every man's work, of what sort it is. God is checking. Another parallel is the angel is coming to measure. It's the same thing. It's coming to check. How much do you walk in love? To what degree is your love work developed? To what degree is the fruit of patience, the fruit of kindness? To what degree is it developed? Because those things are the things that God is looking for. Amen? And he's saying that if it's not there, then it is... The Bible says that any man's work shall be burned. He shall suffer, even though he'll be born again. He will go to heaven. But he will lose part of his reward. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. God's not going to allow us to lose our reward, which is why he's bringing this word, so that we can take the more earnest heed. Yes, sir. That's why he's warning. So that we can take the more earnest heed. Give time, you know, to prayer. Give time to study of the word. Create time. You know, cut out some of those things that look as if they must do. There's not that is must do. If God forbid that one is sick and bedridden, what will be the must do then? So don't wait until that time. We should call ourselves to order, tell ourselves the truth, and apportion our time, you know, and give that time to the things of the Spirit so that we can develop that fruit of the Spirit. Amen. On the inside. Amen. Okay, so that's what God is saying. We will not lose our reward in Jesus' name. Examples in the Bible, Lot, you know, went to heaven, but he lost part of his world. Samson went to heaven, but definitely, like Pastor said the other day, nobody wants to go like Samson did. Alright? So, no, these are examples. And these examples are for our admonition. So that we can take heed to ourselves. And God doesn't have any favorites. If his son was perfected through suffering, that's the path for us to go. And he makes the yoke easy and the burden light. Amen. Alright? So, and when we begin to walk in all wisdom, then he makes us perfect. And we see an example in Joseph. Joseph suffered. He suffered, he lost the privilege of living in the comfort of his parents' house. His brothers deprived him of that. And he was, they almost killed him, if not for the mercy of God. Then he suffered, you know, serving Potiphar faithfully, and he was lied on. And he didn't open his mouth like a lamb. He didn't open his mouth. He didn't say, and he went from Potiphar's house, from frying pan to fire, from Potiphar's house to prison. And there he continued to be faithful. But God was working something out. So we see that it's a type of self-denial. If you deny yourself, and as you come into a time when you inherit. Look at Genesis 41, verse 46. Very important. He was a teenager when it happened. And Joseph, let's read together. And Joseph was about 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Amen. By 30. He started very early. But by 30, he was done. He finished. I mean, he was out of one level of suffering. Now, he was still, of course, doing the prayer. Like Daniel, open his window to the east and pray. You know, doing all the things that he was supposed to do. So, look at Genesis 45, 7 to 8. Yes. And he's now talking to his brethren. When he was 30, the 7 years of plenty followed when he was 30. So, he was 37. Okay, now look at it. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Next verse. So now, it was not you that sent me here. But anything people do is not them, but God. God allows it to happen because he's taking you somewhere. So focus on God. Deal with the flesh and quit complaining. Quit being bitter. Quit pointing fingers. Forgive. 70 times 7 per person per day. Give life to them. Pray in tongues so that you can hasten the work God is doing. But God, he said, God sent me. He understood it. And he said, and he had made me what? A father to who? You're going to be father to kings. Kings will come to our rising. Yes! To the brightest of our rising. They will come. When the glory comes, they will come. They will come. The word has to be fulfilled. It's the type. Mommy shared the word the other day. Thank you so much, Mommy. You shared the word in the office about the fact that Joseph was handling the economy of the family, the sheep. And they were looking for king, and they forgot him. David, I beg your pardon, David, you know, he was in the field, okay, and was looking at the sheep, and the prophet came and said, ah, is this the house of Jesse? It's not any of you. Do you have another son? Ah, there is one. They did not reckon with him, but the whole economy was in his hand. But you know what God told me from what Mommy said? Mommy, for the kings, the people that are building men and are looking after the interest of the kingdom. Because sheep are men. Amen. Sheep are men. So the ministries that are building men, they are the ones that God is going to come to crown king. They are the ones that God is going to come back to crown kings. Amen. And they're the ones that they are unknown, yet they are well known. But the time will come when their showing will be public. Amen. There was a time when Joseph was not well known. He was unknown. Even though Potiphar knew that everything that was happening good in his house was because of him. Potiphar knew it and attested to it. But you can't keep a good man down. You can't keep a God man down. Amen. If God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. So let's be encouraged, brethren. Pay the price. Love God. Give the time. Amen. There's a reward for the joy that is set before us. We endure the cross and we despise the shame because the glory is going to come. Amen. Verse 29. That is why we must now do what verse 29 says. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working. It's not my working, no. It's his working. He's working in me because I'm submitted to him. Very important. Like Jesus Christ said, he said, why did you say, show us the Father? Huh? How can you be saying, show us the Father? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because the Father was in him. And so the Father was the one doing the works. But everything I was saying, he was saying in submission to the Father. So the Bible says God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's important to submit to instruction. It's important to obey instruction. That's how to strive mightily. The instruction of prayer, the instruction of using the blood frequently, praying in the spirit, reading the word, studying the word. These things generate the power of God. They generate that. And that is the working that opens doors that no man can open. Amen. It opens doors and it subdues the doors of affliction and persecution that ordinarily a man cannot shut. So God is the one that opens and shuts. So is that's the working through whom, that's the working through whom he was working. So we work out what God is working in. God is working in us and we now work it out in the fear of God and in obedience to instruction. Which worketh in me mightily. He's talking about the fact that the power of God will overcome any infirmity. It will overcome any opposition that is coming against you. If it has not bowed, it is because it's not been allowed to work to the degree that it ought to. So we go back, we check, we adjust on the inside, we correct our attitude, an attitude of honesty, an attitude of humility, and then we obey instruction. If you do it, it produces great power that makes tremendous power available to get us into our destiny. Amen. That's not a super clap offering. Hallelujah. I told us last week, we need to appreciate the word of God. Hallelujah. And the vessels that God is using. Amen. You may not know this, but you want to know the amount of preparation that goes into these messages. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. You have to take time to pray. You have to take time to study. And most importantly, you have to be practicing it yourself. If you're not practicing it, it can't come out of your mouth in any kind of correct way. And that's why the Bible says that by their fruit you shall know them. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart. To even bring a thing out, it takes the mercy and the grace of God. I don't know if you've ever tried it. We can let you come and preach one day. You will know what we're talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a word. What a beautiful word for us this morning. Amen. Growing into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. See, this is the mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory. God has no two purposes. He has only one. That purpose is for us to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that present every man. It's the purpose of, for it's not a few, everybody. Sadly, most people don't agree with the plan. But that's not the plan of God. The plan of God is for all of us to be a part of it. And so let's stand to our feet. I want you to make a fresh consecration to this purpose. I know we do it very often. But that's the whole purpose. You see, that's why, like Pastor Kunle was saying, we have to keep hearing this thing, lest we let it slip. Particularly in this day and hour where there is a babel of voices. It's not very often you hear this. Most people and most places, the emphasis is on blessings and material things, rather than this purpose. Material things are important in their place, but they should be side benefits. This is the main course. And we need to cooperate with God so that we can have it in our lives. There's a song, we haven't sung the song in a long time. As Pastor Kunle was ministering, it just came to my heart. And I want us to sing it, not just as a song. See, I choose songs very carefully because the lyrics mean a lot. And God wants you to sing with understanding, with meaning from your heart. A lot of our singing today in the church is mechanical and for entertainment and just enjoyment. You know, most people don't even think about what they are saying. They just sing it because it's nice. And they get, you know, but I don't want us to do that. And in this church, I don't encourage that. You know, I want you to sing from your heart. Most songs are actually prayers. It's a prayer that is put in the form of a song. So you're expressing your heart's desire to God. Let us sing. Lord, prepare me a sanctuary.
Lord, prepare me a sanctuary,
pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living. on your heart, raise your other hand to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. My Father, I thank you for your word that has come today to me through your servant, reminding me, warning me that you want me to be perfect, to be presented perfect in Christ Jesus, to allow your love to totally dominate my will, my mind, my emotions, and my body. That this is your purpose. And for this, you have told me that I should labor along with you, be a co-laborer with you, using your blood, your word, and your spirit, that you will work mightily in me to fulfill this purpose. Oh God, I present myself afresh, a sanctuary, a living sanctuary for you. I will allow you to work in me, to will and to do of your good pleasure. Father, this great plan that was in your heart, that you have now revealed to me, Lord God, I will allow you to finish it. You have already started. I thank you for where you brought me to up till now. But I know there's still much more to be done. Oh God, oh God, oh God, I consecrate, I dedicate myself to continue to cooperate with you, to continue to labor with you, to finish this work, spirit, soul, and body, for all men to see, so that like Joseph, I'll be able to be a blessing to my generation, as he was to his brothers and to his generation, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap up.